what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, June 15th, 2026. Hope you all had a great weekend, and I have a good feeling you probably did, whether you're a Knicks fan or not. I know you're a Yankee fan, or else, what are you doing here? Although, I guess you're welcome, but I know the Yankees had a good weekend. The Knicks had a good weekend. And shout out to the Knicks, probably the last time we'll mention them on this show. And no, I won't mention again how I'm a casual Knicks fan. There's a funny comment on the last episode. It was like, guys, you think Dan's a casual Knicks fan? Because I do seemingly say it every single episode. But I do want to mention, congrats to the Knicks. Shout out to the Knicks. Parade's on Thursday. Selfishly, I will say this. You guys know I'm much more of a Yankee fan, much more of a baseball fan. I am ready to get back to regularly scheduled programming where it's summertime, hot out, Yankees, baseball, hot dogs, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. One more week of the Knicks, and rightfully so. Now, celebrate the championship the rest of your life. I'm not saying that, but I do look forward to being back to baseball as the main show in town. But, yo, speaking of a good weekend, the Yankees had a good weekend in Toronto, and they really needed a good weekend in Toronto, obviously, after everything that we're well aware of that happened last year. And we previewed it on Friday, and I was saying, you know, part of this also becomes a conversation about the Tampa Bay Rays, which we enter today in first place, sole possession of first place, one game ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays. But it would always be like, all right, you don't believe in the Rays. Who would you consider to be the biggest threat in the American League East? And I still said the Toronto Blue Jays. I went into this series while completely acknowledging the Yankees are the better team, and it's not 2025. It's a brand new year. I wasn't taking this series lightly. Not that any of you guys were, and it was a hard series. It was one that, for the most part, every single game, we were stressing. The Yankees do come out of it, though, taking 2 out of 3, and we're going to break down all of that. Also, going to get into the Jose Caballero delay of game situation, which is total BS, and we'll break down exactly why it's BS. We'll get into a little bit of a Paul Goldschmidt, get into the injuries that took place since the last time we spoke, setback to Giancarlo Stanton. We don't know when he's going to return. We thought it was initially going to be this upcoming homestand, but he had a slight setback to his calf, and he's going to undergo some more imaging on that. But it sounds like, at the very least, Stanton ain't returning during this homestand. And, of course, Trent Grisham goes down on Friday, which the Yankees can handle injuries more than any other team previously in this Judge/Aaron Boone era. Still not ideal, obviously, because Grisham has been terrific for a prolonged period of time now. Since the start of May, it's, you know, been well documented on this show how great he had been doing. He's likely out, I would say possibly, no doubt, the rest of June. I think it might just be a clean, we don't see Grisham until the start of the second half. With that said, though, it's still a very exciting time to be a Yankee fan. In fact, in my opinion, an incredibly exciting time to be a Yankee fan. And before we start breaking everything down, well, first things first, of course, we're live Monday through Friday, for those who aren't aware, the Morning Yankee Show. We're also available on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. Follow Yankees Ave on Instagram. You guys know the deal. But the headline for this video, at least as we are live right now, is there is one thing the Yankees must do to prove themselves in 2026. Here's what that is right off the bat. It is win the World Series. Simple as that. And one might be like, oh, well, that's obvious. Exactly. It is very obvious. There is nothing that can be done, whether it's getting through Aaron Judge's IL stint or handling adversity or being the best team in the American League like they currently are. There is nothing to do, whether it be for the fan who we often refer to as the one who's kind of waiting for the shoe to drop, which is completely justified because we've had moments in past years. It seems like at least once a year, there's a time entering the summer, coming out of the summer, going to the postseason where we're riding high. We're feeling good for one reason or another. And a lot of those reasons had been valid. This is the most valid reason there's ever been, the team that we have right now and how the team is going to look post-trade deadline, at least you would think. And that's kind of where I get to that title of there's one thing the Yankees can do to prove themselves, and that is winning the World Series. Nothing else can be done. Now, part of the reason why I bring that up is, the main reason why, is if Brian Cashman happened to be listening, which I know he's not, but maybe he is. He has a burner on Twitter. Maybe he tunes into this show. I'm in a good spot with Cashman right now. Running it back is looking really good. And for a lot of reasons that we said, it would look good. Now also, for the reasons that we were concerned, those do remain. The bullpen. Now the bullpen's actually been pretty good lately. There's been some issues. Jake Bird did not have a good weekend. But everything is in place to where they can just upgrade what we know needs to be upgraded. Catcher. We've talked a lot about Ryan Jeffers. The bullpen. This bullpen we know is not World Series caliber. the catcher position, as we know, is not World Series caliber. In large part, just going in by default because you needed a right-handed bat to platoon with Austin Wells. Austin Wells will be rehabbing this week. I am holding out a little bit of hope that fresh start for him, he'll look better than he did in his initial stint. Maybe get back to where he was last year, which was still a below league average bat, but there was a big difference between 2025 Austin Wells and 2026 Austin Wells. But nonetheless, we know we have to add a catcher. The assumption is that the Yankees will add a catcher. The assumption is that the Yankees will get relievers at the trade deadline. And that's non-negotiable, because if they don't, you know, we did our tier list the other day and Brian Cashman had a spot in that tier list, and I put him at a B right now for this very year. For right now, I have Brian Cashman currently at a B. Post-trade deadline, I might put him in S. Post-trade deadline, I might put him in F, because it all comes down to, do the Yankees shore up the few areas that are glaring and obvious, but the few areas that are needed to be shored up, the bullpen particularly, and then catcher. Outside of that, we have the foundation of a team, more than just a foundation. I mean, this is the best team in the American League. And not just because the AL is so thin. This is a team that is better than our squad in 2024 that went to the World Series. They're better than they were last year. A big part of that, obviously, is what our starting rotation will be come October. A big part of that is the depth that we're seeing right now, the depth that has the Yankees currently, since they officially placed Judge on the IL, which I like to go with that as like the line of demarcation. I know, you know, he was missing a few games in that home series against Cleveland, but there's a mindset, there's a vibe about, all right, we're going to be without Judge for a couple months. How are we going to handle it? The Yankees are 5-2 since officially placing Judge on the IL. And a reason for that, a big reason for that, is we have more depth than we've ever had. This is the best bench that we've ever had, I mean, in the Judge era, in the Aaron Boone era. Best bench that we've had in the Judge / the Boone era. Everything is in place to where if the Yankees can just make sure they go all in, and that doesn't mean you trade Lombard, doesn't mean you trade LeGrand, hey. Everybody else besides those two should be on the table, though. We always talk about that. You can't make everybody untouchable. Pick a position player, pick a pitcher. Lombard, he's not going anywhere. LeGrand, hey, he's not going anywhere. Only place LeGrand is going is up here in the Bronx. Possibly Lombard, too. Lombard is tearing it up at AAA lately. I would not rule out a call-up of him at some point this season. But make sure everybody else is on the table. Not that you're looking to be like, oh, here you go, here's Elmer Rodriguez, take him. No, like, you know, Cashman's not going to be dumped, so that doesn't even have to be said. But if there's any year to be a little bit reckless and a little bit like, all right, we might give up a prospect that later on will be like, you know, it'd be nice to have that guy, make that trade. Because when you're thinking that in a couple years and thinking, Elmer Rodriguez would probably be nice to have, but oh, he helped us get this reliever that led us to winning our 20th World Series championship in 2026. We're there. This team is really, really good. And this series against the Blue Jays, not to be cliche, but it absolutely was a statement victory. You go into the ninth last inning yesterday, tied at one. And again, this whole series, while the Yankees ended up taking 2 out of 3, it was a close series. It was a stressful series. Saturday, end up taking the lead in the ninth. We'll talk about Paul Goldschmidt a little bit later on. Yesterday, too, like, that was a game where, you know, there was some good defense, also some sloppy defense at times this series, too. But, you know, Will Warren wasn't great. He navigated through trouble for the most part. The bullpen outside of Jake Bird did their job, and that's kind of been the case lately. Even Camilo Duvall has been pitching a little bit better as of late. 5 straight scoreless appearances, and yesterday, that 8th inning that he had that was scoreless obviously proved to be huge. And we said this at the time in the watch party, not to take that into what it could mean down the road, but at least for right now, I appreciate it. Shout out Camilo Duvall. Anyways, you go into the 9th inning tied at 1 yesterday. It's a series that you really got to make sure you do indeed win, based off just the fact of, you know, the Rays are right down your throat. They end up winning yesterday. So if you lose that game, then, you know, ultimately it would have been a tie for first place in the American League East. I'm not worried about the Rays, but still, like I always say, I'll play along. Anyways, Ben Rice comes up and takes care of business.
3-2. Driven deep to right field. There it goes! See ya! A long home run for Ben Rice. And the Yankees lead 5-3. Oh, what a shot! And caught by Volpe. Ball game over. And the Yankees win 8-3. In a place that was a house of horrors for the Yankees last year, they come in and they take 2 or 3 to the Blue Jays, and they remain in first place in the American League East.
That's now the seventh time this season that you guys have taken the lead in the ninth and wound up winning the game. What does it say about the way this team battles, especially late?
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot. It's, you know, it just says that there's no quitting us, and regardless of who's on the mound, whatever the score is, we're going to go up there and just try to grind out quality at bats.
This place was not kind to you last year. For you guys to come up here and take two out of three, what does that mean for this team?
Huge, huge. I mean, like you said, they definitely had our number last year, especially at this park. So to end the road trip on a series win, it feels great.
Feels great. I cannot agree more, Ben. Cannot agree more. Again, you just want to win games, and especially even more pressure to do so, or at least stay afloat, is generally the vibe when you lose Judge. The Yankees are doing more than that just right now. Or more than just that right now. I'm clearly pretty hyped up, Chad. Let me take a breath. Anyways, again, 5-2 since officially placing Judge on the IL. You take 2 out of 3 against Toronto. I think it is clearly, definitively, the case that the Yankees are indeed the best team in the American League. Not just because they're so thin, but because this team is indeed really good. Now, again, I think it's totally fair for Yankee fans that are a little bit more on the pessimistic vibe. Not of the vibe of everything sucks. Like I always say, like, we're all going to die. Everything's miserable. Yankees, you know, like, that's crap. Like, I don't care. I don't care about that. But if you're somebody that's a little bit hesitant about buying all in because you think ultimately it's going to be the same outcome at season's end, I think that's totally fair. Which is why, again, like, nothing is officially going to be set in stone until the Yankees do make it official and win the World Series. But make no mistake, like, this team is the best team of the Aaron Judge era. This team is good enough, as long as the bullpen is upgraded, to beat the Dodgers, to beat the Brewers, to beat whoever comes out of the National League. And especially by then, it's a baseball series. You know, it is very much still something that remains, which is you want to win the pennant. You want to win your league. Because once you get through that, then we'll just analyze the World Series when we get there. We'll analyze it strictly the same way we do at the tail end of every episode on here, previewing a series, where it's like, this guy versus this guy, pitching matchup here. Now, what is very important that we've really emphasized is that the Yankees have to make sure, at the very least, they get the one seed in the AL, and they absolutely should. That's where the thinness of the league does 100% apply. There's no excuse for the Yankees not to obviously win the AL East, which I am a firm belief that they will. I don't even know how much longer we're even going to be discussing that. I think, barring, you know, let's say the Rays win a game, Yankees lose tomorrow, it's baseball, I understand things can happen. I think the Yankees will be in first place in the American League East for the rest of the season. I think this is it. I'm not saying the AL East is over in that regard, but you know what I mean? Like, I think this is, I don't see them giving this up, at least to the Tampa Bay Rays, unless the Blue Jays start to turn it around, which as we go further and further into the season, you know, it might just be this is what the Blue Jays are. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about, and people mention how the Blue Jays at this point last year still weren't great. Well, at this point last year, they did start to turn it around. You know, it's not May 15th anymore. Now it's June 15th. By this point last year, the Blue Jays had started to turn it around. And listen, I still think series against the Blue Jays are ones to be taken seriously, clearly. But the regression that we expected has happened. Besides Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement is still a thorn in our sides. But besides that, the Blue Jays have come back down to earth. Also, Vlad, now we missed in the last couple series, or the last couple games of the series, but he's been, I mean, relatively speaking, he's been awful. Vlad only has 3 home runs on the season. Anyways, not to spend too much time on the Blue Jays, but the further and further you get into the season, the more it's clear, both on our end and their end, it's not 2025 anymore. It is 2026. And what has 2026 shown us? That indeed, the Yankees are the best team in the American League. They should win the one seed, and that is very important. We always mention how the Aaron Boone era, they have never lost a postseason series to a lower seed. What does that mean? They've never lost to a team that they were supposed to beat. Or they never lost to a team that they weren't supposed to beat, I think is what I'm trying to say here. Win the one seed. And not only that, best record in baseball is very much on the table. Now, obviously, definitively, that doesn't mean you're the best team in baseball. Although, for all I know, the Yankees could be that, by the way, after the trade deadline. But that's where the thinness of the league does come into play, where it's you can get fat against some of these teams. You're better than every single team in the AL, at least, that you're going to play. Go rack up 100 wins. The Dodgers last year were obviously the best team in baseball. They only won 93 games. How important would it be? How pivotal would it be if we could have a better record than them? And then if we face up against them in the World Series again, we have home field advantage. I mean, doesn't need to be said how important that would be. The AL East, they're going to win it. Top record in the American League, I think they're going to get that. I want the best record in baseball. Anyways, point is here in our first topic, after taking 2 out of 3, again, statement victory, proving that this is a different year. And things have indeed changed. The Yankees are better than they were last year. And also, I got to say, I really like, one, because it's just box office, I like the way the Yankees are talking about the Blue Jays this year. You see Will Warren's quote yesterday? Will Warren was like, they don't like us, we don't like them. Cam had a great quote the other day. Let me pull it up on my phone really quick. Sorry, I should have had this ready to go in my notes, but I want to get it exactly verbatim what he said. So, well, his first line I did not like from Cam because it sounded so just like Twitter talkish, but Cam was asked, why does he think Toronto fans don't like him? And Cam goes, they're easy to rage bait, I think, which that line, whatever. But then he goes, all the stuff last year in the playoffs or whatever it is, they got a whole country behind them. So there's a lot. They're passionate about it. You respect them for that. And then here's what I like. He goes, but I don't really like them. They ended our season last year. I hope everyone's got that chip on their shoulder. That's Cam Schlittler. Yesterday, Will Warren says, we don't like them. They don't like us. We don't like them. Embrace that. I think that's awesome. And that's something really cool also about, a little side note, kind of goes to what we always talk about with running it back, how it's cool that like this core, for the most part, like this team has been through the ringer together. Like the line you often use was like battle tested, but like that's more so like on the field. But I'm talking about like mindset going into a series, mindset going into making sure you take care of business in a series finale, not getting swept at home, making sure you complete a sweep, like things along those lines. And it doesn't mean it's always going to, you know, play out that way, but at least the mindset going in, the Yankees know where they went wrong last year, and having the same core intact, same exact team for the most part, but better, they're more prepared last year than they were. And going into this series, like, I don't think it's a coincidence. Like, I mean, it could be a coincidence. Again, it's baseball. Like, the Mets just took 2 out of 3 against the Braves. Like, things can happen. But, like, I think that could aid a little bit in the fact that we took 2 out of 3 against them. And that's important. So between the teams being better, the mindset clearly being different, and honestly, the latter might be more important in that regard in terms of a series against the Blue Jays in Toronto. I mean, you guys heard me on Friday. I was nervous going into this series, particularly the fact that we were in Toronto. And as Kay put it, place that was a house of horrors last year for us. Even like Will Warren yesterday, like he was not great. He was like not good, honestly. But still, and he got screwed a little bit by the defense. There was a couple plays that both should have been errors, by the way. That Caballero play at second base, that should have been an error. The play at third base by Rosario, that should have been an error. He got an error on the throw that allowed, I forget who it was, to go to second. But anyways, the defense did not help out Will Warren yesterday. But remember, last year, Warren, a big reason why his ERA was so inflated at a 4.44 was because the brutal outings he had in Toronto, one of them also in LA, but he had 2 outings of just complete implosion in Toronto. Yesterday, he wasn't good. But in the end, like, got through adversity, and he ended up only allowing the one run, like, through four. So it wasn't a good start. But again, compared to how it was last year, and that could just be part of the maturation process. That could be part of just, you know, year over year, guys get better, guys get more mature, guys know how to handle something that they previously did not. And I think that's a big difference, too, with this team. That doesn't just apply to the Blue Jays. That applies to everything that we already kind of have discussed. But anyways, again, it's often a cliche thing people say, statement victory. No, this was absolutely a statement victory by the Yankees that it's not 2025, it is 2026. And what has 2026 shown us? That the Yankees are the best team in the American League. We know there's work to be done. The trade deadline, we're getting there, by the way. You know, like, I have it definitively Ryan Jeffers at catcher. That's the plan there. People, like, will often ask, like, what's your trade target reliever-wise? It's tough to really say because given that the AL is so weak, like, you don't know which teams are actually going to be out of it, which teams are going to be selling. And some of the clear, obvious ones, like, aren't going to be selling to us, you know? Like, we're not getting Chapman. We talked about that on Friday. But anyways, it won't be long before we do have names in mind. You know, like, and I want to kind of start doing, I might do a video, whether it's later today or whenever, about, like, definitive trade deadline targets. We're still kind of early on it, but it's June 15th. Soon it'll be July 15th. Soon it'll be August 3rd, which is the trade deadline. We're getting there. And it is the most important trade deadline in the Judge era, most important trade deadline possibly. I don't want to say possibly. I think this is the most important trade deadline in Brian Cashman's tenure as Yankee GM. Honestly, I really, really do. And then, to me, the more and more I think about it, as I say it out loud, I think that is definitive. Anyways, we'll cover that at great length over the next month and a half. But we're in a good spot right now. This team is really good. We know about the flaws, but those flaws will be addressed. And if they're not, then that'll be a very different conversation come August 4th after the trade deadline. But I have a pretty good feeling about it. Pretty good feeling about it. Anyways, Yankees take 2 out of 3 against Toronto. We do got to continue this conversation with Toronto, not just about, you know, taking the 2 out of 3, but the Jose Caballero thing. First, let's toss to what ended up happening in the ninth. Trust me, I'm not glossing over this. I wanted to focus on the Ben Rice home run because the second go-ahead blasting he's had in 2 days. But Jose Caballero, obviously, yesterday was charged with an intentional delay which we've seen this a lot. We'll break down more of this later on, but Caballero mentioned, and this is the way he put it, he said, after that sixth inning, he was not in his, quote, happy zone the rest of the game. He was pissed. And you could say he ended up getting some revenge in the ninth.
Kurtz. High fly ball off the bat of Caballero. Straw back on the track at the wall. See ya! A long home run for Caballero. A three-run blast. And the Yankees lead 8-3.
That was a bomb. That was indeed a bomb. But let's break down what happened in the sixth inning, because I'll tell you, it was BS. Now, say what you will about the rule. And for those who don't know what happened, obviously, if you watch any lick of Yankee baseball this year, even if you watch one game, there's a chance you've witnessed Caballero do this. But yesterday, home plate umpire, his name is Steven Jasniewski. He stopped the game when there were 9 seconds left on the pitch clock. Caballero eventually was charged with an intentional delay. And yeah, he stopped the game, charged him with a delay when there was 9 seconds left on the pitch clock. And by the way, this is the story of this topic. The rule is this. Batters must be in the box and alert to the pitcher by the 8 second mark, or they'll be charged with an automatic strike. Caballero, always until the 8 second mark, has his head down at the 9 second mark. And then he picks it up, as the rule states he can do. So I think they're doing some street cleaning outside over there. Let that pass for a second, but hopefully you guys still got me. I don't think that's that loud. But the rule is what the rule is. And we'll hear from Caballero in just a second, but that was BS. Not saying the rule isn't BS. Fair enough there, and that's when we hear from Caballero kind of what his point is. But again, this is the rule. The batter must be in the box and alert to the pitcher by the 8 second mark, which is exactly what Caballero does every single time. Now, is it annoying? Absolutely. If I wasn't a Yankee fan, would this piss me off too? 100%. It's a classic thing we always hear Boone say about Caballero. And we talk about with Caballero. When he's not on your team, you hate him, which I have Instagram posts from a few years ago specifically about how much I hated Jose Caballero. But in regards to this, yeah, I'd find it annoying if I was a Blue Jays fan. And I don't mind Schneider being all that pissed about it. But ultimately, it's like, you can't actually be mad about him. It's one of those things where it's like, it reminds me of the way I feel about ABS sometimes, where it's like, okay, is that really a strike? That doesn't feel like a strike, but I can't actually complain because it is a strike. Like, that is fine. That is the rules. Like, that is correct, but it bothers me. Like, that's how I think any other fan should feel about this when they help Caballero handles this rule. It is purely gamesmanship. And that's really what he goes into in the soundbite that we're about to hear from him, is that, like, yo, the rules are the rules. Like, I'm not saying I like the rules. I'm not saying this is what the rules should be, but while it's a rule, I'm going to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what he did yesterday. So it's not Caballero's fault that the rule exists. And if the rule does exist, I'd want my players too. Like, if I was a Blue Jays manager, whoever it may be, taking advantage of using this as gamesmanship. And here's Caballero on the whole thing. But again, main thing to really remember this whole situation is that the rule indeed states the batter must be in the box and alert to the pitcher by the 8 second mark. Caballero does it every single time, yesterday included.
The rules are the rules. Nobody wanted the rules. They invented the rules. They should take care of it, you know? Like, I'm just trying to play with the new system that they got us playing. It's not like I invented the rules. So as you can tell, like, every time the pitchers don't rush, it's no problem at all. But then whenever they get people on and they start, like, thinking faster and they rush, then that's when the problem comes. But that's not my fault. I do the same thing over and over.
Exactly. It's not his fault whatsoever. Now, again, if the rule would later be changed, that's a different story. But for now, the rule indeed is what it is, which is by the 8 second mark, you got to be in the box and alert to the pitcher. Caballero does it every single time. Yesterday was no different. And the home plate umpire, and clearly, you know, because there's times where it does get annoying with Caballero, but I love it. And in fact, this makes me love Caballero even more. Now, by the way, Volpe, let's mention, had a great game yesterday. Defense was good too. But two big RBI singles. Shout out to Anthony Volpe. Celebrate him when he does well. I'm out on Volpe myself now too. I'm not a hater of Volpe. I'm not one that says, like, death to Anthony Volpe. I think that shit is whack. But celebrate Volpe, even if you're a hater of him, when he does well. Yesterday he did well. But with that said, stuff like this is also part of the pro Jose Caballero argument. Gamesmanship. He's a ball player, and this very much contributes to that conversation. Now again, if Schneider is upset about this, or like just doesn't like it or finds it annoying, I think that is, like, fair. Again, if I was a Yankee fan, I would think it's annoying too. But it is the rule, and Caballero's taking advantage of it. John Schneider, here's his quote on it. He goes, Blue Jays manager, of course, he says, there seems to be one guy that has an issue with it. It sucks that a pitcher like Spencer Miles has to sit out there for as long as he did. Seems like it could have been handled a lot quicker and a lot more efficiently than it was. But again, that's not why we lost, but it's Major League Baseball. Everyone knows the rules. So honestly, don't really know what John Schneider's saying there. And to be honest, I don't mind John Schneider. And it's very easy for me to dislike an opposing manager. Like, I think Kevin Cash is borderline insufferable. I think he's not with them anymore. But like, I used to hate Brandon Hyde of the Orioles. Like, I think some of them very easily tick me off. I actually think John Schneider's a classy dude. I don't mind John Schneider. But in regards to this, like, I guess he's kind of saying what I'm saying, which is like, I could understand you finding it irritating. But his last line was, it's Major League Baseball. Everyone knows the rules. Well, Jose Caballero knows the rules. That seems to be what the case is here. The home plate umpire yesterday apparently didn't. So it's either change the rule or, I mean, yeah, that's it. Either change the rule or nothing can be done. So that umpire was wrong yesterday in giving Caballero a delay of game or an intentional delay. I mean, that's absurd, by the way. An intentional, I mean, what is this? But nonetheless, Caballero, I love you so much. And I like him even more. I love him even more after yesterday. And the fact that he just stands his ground, like he's a dog. And hearing him in the soundbite that we just played before, where he's saying the rules are the rules, and he mentions how, yeah, he's using it for the fact of when pitchers get into a jam, they like to rush. And that makes sense because, you know, the more and more you... I was listening to this the other day, like when I was watching the Knicks game, I don't know if this is actually how it works in basketball, but I was just imagining when they're talking about how, you know, when Wemby was missing all those free throws, and I guess he often takes a lot of time making those free throws. For me, like, if I was in my own head, I would want to get that ball out of my hands as quick as possible, because otherwise, the more time you have to think, the more time I would have to get in my head and mess it up. So it makes sense what Kyrie was saying about the pitchers, that when they're in a jam, they like to rush and just throw the pitch, because otherwise, you know, they might get rattled. So Caballero ensures that doesn't happen by taking advantage of this rule that exists, gamesmanship, whatever you want to call it. He's completely within his rights to do so. He's completely valid to do so. Is it annoying for an opposing fan base, opposing team? Word up, sure. But what it seems like, you know, what's also gamesmanship? What's also completely legal, which is guy on second base, if you're letting your signs loose and the opposition can see it, yeah, be irritated by it. But like, that's not our problem, bro. Like, that's totally within the rules. You can do that. So that's very much where this falls in for me. The umpires were wrong yesterday in calling out Caballero for this. And it wasn't just calling him out. It was, he was charged with an intentional delay, which is absurd. Anyways, Caballero, three-run bomb in the ninth inning. And a lot of Blue Jays fans were talking some smack about Caballero. And, you know, later on had that home run, which was freaking incredible. Anyways, well, I guess it doesn't really put a blow in the Blue Jays series. We already talked about the importance of taking those two out of three. We've now covered the Caballero situation, which I think I've made my thoughts quite clear on that. I do want to continue on here. One more thing from the Toronto series, which, or in general, but Paul Goldschmidt, obviously Saturday, he comes up and he's already been great. And he continues to do damage against lefties. Yesterday, 2-for-2 against Corbin. I forget what he did later in the game, but he's just been automatic, elite, lethal against left-handed pitching. He's also been very productive against right-handed pitching as well. That continued on Saturday with the go-ahead two-run bomb in the ninth inning, which we'll hear from Goldie in just a moment. But I got to say, I said this in the watch party, I feel like Paul Goldschmidt is permanently glued to an OPS against right-handed pitching below 700, because I go out to check today, and I was certain. I was like, all right, I know he's great against lefties, but just watching, the eye test would tell me that he's at least in the 700s against right-handed pitching. He's somehow still in the 600s. It doesn't feel that way, but we'll continue this conversation after hearing from Goldie. Saturday, game tied, another stressful situation, which I was enjoying the hell out of Saturday's game, and then it gets late. I was chilling with the Clodog. It's a 1-1 game, and I'm just like, this has been an awesome game. I'm having a good time. You know, we're having some Surfside, Sun Cruise, High Noons, chilling. Knicks were on later, obviously. Like, we're vibing. I'm like, all right, we're having a good time, but, it's a 1-1 game late in Toronto. Like, I might be, being pissed is very much on the table in about 10 minutes. So, let's lock in here. Fortunately, Paul Goldschmidt locked in, too.
Driven deep to left field. Backing up Pinago. Turning. Looking. See ya. Home run for Goldschmidt, and a big one at that, and the Yankees lead 3-1. Varland had allowed 2 earned runs in 36 and 2/3 innings this season. Now he's given up 4.
Dominguez just joked that he calls you young Goldie, that you got it out there. Do you like that?
Yeah, they can call me whatever they want. So I know I said it before, but I love the guys in this clubhouse. We have fun with each other and give each other a hard time, and that's because, you know, it's a close group here, and that's what makes it so enjoyable to be able to come through there in the ninth and get a hit that puts us ahead and able to hold on to the lead.
1 year, $4 million. Now, initially when they re-signed Goldschmidt, I was hyped because I was already on board with, all right, we're running it back. We're going to run it back. Let's run it back. And that contributed to that, bringing him back on that $4 million deal, which is proving huge for the Yankees for obvious reasons. He's been terrific. But now we find out Stanton setback. We don't know when he's going to return. We thought it'd be this homestand. Sounds like that's not going to be the case. Maybe even longer, which no matter what, I think we're chilling in that regard, because same with almost like the Judge conversation. It's like, unless somebody's done for the year, same with like Max Reed, it's like, this very much, forget how great this team is. Just look at the position that we're in the American League. You take that alone. All that matters is being, ultimately all that matters is being healthy for the postseason. And Stanton, by the way, we do want back, even with how great Goldschmidt has been. But in the meantime, he's helping us get by. Grisham also, we know, is now down. Probably, I would assume, the remainder of the first half. Now, Grisham will undergo an MRI today, so we'll figure out the severity of his hamstring strain, which that's a loss. All these are losses. Like, you don't want Stanton going down for longer. You don't want Grisham going down, obviously. You don't want Judge going down, Fried, all this and that. But again, we're more equipped to handle it, and then some, than we were in years past. And by the way, something on Boone. We talked about this yesterday in the watch party. You guys know I'm a pro Boone guy for the most part. Doesn't mean I haven't called for his job in the past. That was more so back then. But I've really gotten to a place with Boone where, especially this year, it's a good reminder, I think, or maybe even an enlightening, if you will, that not everything that you dislike about Aaron Boone is his fault, truly. Because look at the way he's handled this year. I think even if you're one who doesn't like Boone, at the very least, you should be able to acknowledge that this has been a pretty good year for Boone. Even if you want to compare to years past. Now, part of that could be philosophy with the Yankees, and, you know, an example I often bring up is, like, they used to be terrible with giving too many days off and rest days and, like, the complacency. Like, that was very much a thing. That doesn't seem to be the case this year. I think Boone's had an excellent year, possibly his best year yet as Yankee manager. I think indisputably, to be honest, but that's just my opinion. Your word is obviously as good as mine. But what's the difference with this year? We have depth. He has options. And all of a sudden, I think Boone's looking like the best he's ever been. Also, you know, guys make mistakes, guys learn, and the issue with making mistakes isn't making them, it's not learning from them. And Boone now is in, what, year nine, maybe, 2018 was his first year, and it makes sense that he'd be a better manager now than he was in year one or year two, or even just a few years ago. And that's another benefit of running it back, he knows these guys. Anyways, the depth allows us to be equipped to handle adversity, injuries like this. Goldschmidt, we know, has been terrific. Let's just mention really quick exactly what he's doing. He enters Monday, the off day today, in 295, OPS of 898, 9 home runs, 31 RBIs. He's been clutch. He's been, while still not great against right-handed pitching, apparently. Not apparently. That's what the stats say. So, word. But still, he's not helpless against righties, clearly. And on Saturday, that home run being against Louis Varland, who has been like the best closer in baseball since taking over for Jeff Hoffman, who lost that job in Toronto. We've seen him multiple times this year hit a big home run against a right-handed pitcher. And obviously we know he's still lethal against lefties. Goldschmidt has been terrific. And here's a nice little defensive play too. I mean, he is just, he's been incredible. Absolutely incredible. And there's so many things to talk about here. I want to mention really quick about Stanton, because some people will be like, Stanton, don't come back. That's it. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, not that everybody feels that way, but you know, people can be, they're very dramatic in the moment. No, we do want Stanton back. We absolutely want Stanton back. And the reason for that is options. We want options. If we have Giancarlo Stanton, then instead of having to look at, you know, Anthony Volpe pinch hitting at times, it would be Giancarlo Stanton pinch hitting or Paul Goldschmidt pinch hitting, which when, let's just say whenever Stanton does return, think about the options that we'll have. Goldie will start against left-handers at DH. I'm nearly positive about that. No doubt in my mind. But against righties, yeah, it probably will be Stanton for the most part. And that's what it should be. Not every day, because we know Stanton doesn't play every single day. And then you have Goldschmidt for when you want to give him a day off. How about that, by the way? Instead of, all right, Stanton, you got to give him a day. And then you DH Judge and you put fucking Willie Calhoun out in right field. No, it's, we have Paul Goldschmidt. Or when Goldschmidt does start on a day against a righty, you have Stanton off the bench and vice versa. Paul Goldschmidt off the bench was part of the plan here, yo. It's not just about him filling in while Stanton's out and doing an exceptional job. It's having his bat off the bench or give him a start, say, also, too, the depth of when Rice had his hand injury. You have Goldschmidt in the waiting. The bench is going to be so, so good. There's going to be times where, yes, it is Mr. 900 OPS back to his MVP form borderline. Paul Goldschmidt on the bench, along with Ahmed Rosario available against a righty. Max Schumann, not a good day for Max Schumann yesterday, by the way. I still love him to death. Not a good day for Max Schumann. He's got enough leeway where I'll allow him a game. That's how it goes. I still love Max Schumann. You're awesome. But not great at bats for you yesterday, but that's okay. That's okay. He knows that. He knows that. But like between him, between Schumann, between all the depth that we'll have, especially at full health, Stanton's a big part of that. And there will be times, yes, where Stanton is starting at DH against right-handed pitching, probably more often than not. But we do want him back because then, yes, Paul Goldschmidt on the bench is not a bad thing. And it wouldn't be every single day. Goldschmidt will start against lefties, as he should. He's like one of the best hitters in baseball against lefties. And then against righties, whether it is Stanton at DH or Goldschmidt at DH, that means the other one's on the bench, and that makes us deeper. That makes us better. Also, of course, once Trent Grisham returns, how about Jason Dominguez? We haven't even mentioned him, by the way. Hopefully his heart's all right. I'm just kidding. He's fine. But, like, you see the caffeine he took on Saturday? God. For those who didn't see, Jason Dominguez, he got the call at 11:30 Friday night after Grisham went down. His flight was at, like, 10:30 in the morning. He got to the ballpark by 2 for a 3 o'clock game. He said he took, what was it, 4 shots of espresso, 2 Red Bulls, and a pre-workout. And, hey, it worked out. He went deep in his first game back. But, again, at full health, and this is obvious, but, like, you get Judge back, you get Grisham back, and Grisham, we know, is great. Your depth, and you get Stanton back, your depth then becomes, you have one of Stanton or Goldschmidt on the bench. You have Jason Dominguez on the bench. You still have, of course, Amed Rosario on the bench. Don't rule out George Lombard Jr. either. And if that's the case, then maybe even Caballero goes to the bench. I don't know. Like, nonetheless, and then, by the way, post-trade deadline, Ryan Jeffers, like, oh, my God. I'm very excited, Chad. I'm very excited. Like, and there's so much reason to be excited here. And I get if you're not, because the only reason you wouldn't be is prior year PTSD of this team gets you excited for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, false excitement or, you know, a mirage of excitement or at times a valid reason to be excited. It just doesn't work out. That can happen, too. I understand that. This is the best team that we've had in the Judge era, indisputably, and it's only going to get better and better and better. LeGrand, he looked good in his reliever outing, by the way, yesterday. He didn't end up giving a home run, but his first 6 batters were 6 up, 6 down. He's looking great. Probably at some point in July, we'll see him called up to the Yankee bullpen. So things are just going to get, like, this is our floor right now, bro. This is our floor where we're at. And things are just going to get better and better and better. Anyways, with Goldie, some are wondering, like, how is this happening, per se? Like, he's been so great. What changes is he making? Obviously, I don't know. I'm not a hitting coach, and I don't like to play hitting coach. Not, you know, it's not my place to do so. But, you know, it was just 4 seasons ago, or 4 years ago, where he won MVP. Like, for all we know, this is just one of those years for him, yo. And it doesn't mean he'll replicate it next year. And something to keep in mind, too, in regards to the Stanton conversation is, I'm not saying this is going to happen this year, but like last year, Goldschmidt got off to a great start. Now, early on last year, he was hitting righties. This year, apparently, he's not, although you would think he is. And he is. He's still very much, he's not an incompetent at bat, clearly. And if I didn't see the stats, I would assume his OPS, which is like a 1 dot against lefties, as it was last year, too. I would assume his OPS against righties is like nearing an 800. It's in the 600 still somehow. But last year, he was hitting righties early on. And then as the season went on, he was like brutal against them. And that could come from, you know, age, fatigue, as the season went on. So like, keep that in mind, too, with a possible Stanton return. Not a possible. He will return at some point. That, like, we don't know exactly if Goldschmidt will keep this up. I think he definitely will against lefties. But against righties, like, will he still be capable of coming through with a big 3-run homer or big 2-run shot or whatever it may be against a right-handed pitcher like we've seen all season long? Maybe at some point that'll fade away. That's okay because what he's done so far has been huge. And by that point, you'll have Stanton back. But nonetheless, for right now, what Goldschmidt is doing is incredible. And where would we be without Paul Goldschmidt? We would probably be still in, you know, the upper echelons of the American League because the AL is so thin. But in terms of the vibe, the excitement of what we're talking about right here, and we would not be as good, obviously. Like, Goldschmidt's been huge. But what gets me so excited about that is, again, the depth, the options, how deep this team is and will be. Goldschmidt's a huge part of that. And 1 year, $4 million, I mean, that's possibly, along with Cody Bellinger, who's been scuffling actually a little bit lately, could use a little bit more power from Belly. I mean, his game and why you love him so much goes way beyond just, you know, what his slash line over 30 games recently suggests, which is, you know, he hasn't been amazing, believe it or not. But like the defense, the two-strike approach, like Bellinger's awesome. Nobody's ever going to criticize Bellinger. Nobody's ever worried about Bellinger. But anyways, nonetheless, like along with Bellinger, and hell, Grisham might be in this conversation too, but like right now it almost feels like number one, especially given the value of it, 1 year, $4 million, one of, if not the best Yankee re-sign, re-sign, that the Yankees have had in a long time. Long time. And he just so fits on this team. I love Paul Goldschmidt. I know you guys do too. And this whole unit, this whole team, which it won't always, you know, there'll be times, and this take will stand after, you know, we do lose 2 out of 3. Like, it's not all based off of results, but everything that we're seeing, everything that we know is to come, and everything that has already taken place, and all the other factors involved as well, have me, and Paul Goldschmidt is a really big part of this, in a great spot with this team and this season. So I'm feeling good right now, Chad. We got an off day today. Things are off. They head back home to begin a 6-game homestand, starting with 3 against the White Sox tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all night games. the pitching matchup there on the bottom. I think game one is Cole versus Davis Martin, who's been good. Game two is Rodon versus, I forget who this, but anyways, for us at least, it's Cole game one, Rodon game two, Ryan Weathers game three, which Weathers is on his way to going to the bullpen come Freed's return. He has not been good lately, allowing way too many home runs. But even him, like going to the bullpen, I think will be great for him. And the fastball is really getting clicked by Weathers. Anyways, not to talk too much about that right now. Off day today, Monday, June 15th. Homestand begins tomorrow. Three against the White Sox, three against the Reds. I'm excited for the White Sox series. They've been one of the better stories in baseball this year. And I think that should be pretty fun. We'll preview that more on tomorrow's show, Tuesday morning. But of course, we're live Monday through Friday, the Morning Yankee Show, available on podcasts, Spotify, all of that. But yeah, I'm going to get out of here. Got to start getting back to my Baseball Today prep with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe. If you're a baseball fan and you don't watch that show, that's Monday through Friday as well on JM Baseball, and that covers everything baseball. I just produce it, so I'm not on it. That's probably a good situation there. I don't need to have a mic for everything, you know. But yeah, so I'm going to get out of here. But thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode. Hope you all have a great Monday. It's a beautiful day outside. Vibes are high in the city, mainly because of the Knicks. But hey, parade on Thursday. Celebrate forever about this. 100%. Long overdue and like much deserved, especially for the diehard Knicks fans. Nobody's ever going to take it away from you. But in regards to how I feel, I'm happy for you. Very happy for you. I am very excited that now it's back to business. Summertime, baseball, Yankees are the main show in town. And they enter summer, they enter this period in a pretty good spot. That's all I got. Click like on the stream if you have not already. It does help out a great deal. Obviously, we'll be live for the watch parties throughout the entire White Sox series. At least one game, at least Friday for the Reds game, Reds series opener. And then we'll also be live probably for one of the weekend games as well, Saturday or Sunday. But that's a ways away now. Off day today. See you guys tomorrow morning for another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Have a great rest of your day. And until then, until tomorrow, let's go Yanks.